Good morning. Welcome to Rosedale United Church. We are small but mighty this morning. And if you want to move forward a little bit, you can. But if you're feeling comfortable where you're already sitting, that's all good. This is the first Sunday after Christmas, and we are now in the liturgical season called Christmas. Yes, those 12 days of Christmas. And this is a time for songs and poetry and people gathering together in friendship and in love. My name is Reverend Janet Smith Zenwert, and it is such a pleasure to be in this pulpit again. I've been here the odd time. Most of my time, as some of you will remember, has been in the pews. I was a member of this congregation 4 years as my family was growing up, and I was a candidate for ministry out of this congregation, and now I'm retired, whatever that means. And today in worship, I am joined by Dr. Sarah, Svensson, our music director, and also Rod Campbell is our cantor this morning. Rosedale is a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in the heart of Rosedale and throughout this city. We gather to learn, to grow, and to serve. And as we gather this morning, we're reminded that others have flourished in this location for thousands of years, this place that we call Toronto. They lived among the snow, along the ravines and the rivers. And still, to this day, many Indigenous people call this their home as part of Turtle Island. And we are continuing to listen and travel towards reconciliation. And I will just add in a quotation from an author, Richard Wagamese, in his book, Embers. This is a quotation that I love and want to share with you. I am a traveler on a sacred journey through this one shining day. And there are many shining things that happen here in this vibrant congregation every week. And we've just come through a really busy period. And it's a little slower right now before things fire up again in the new year. However, I do want to share with you that in the bulletin, it'll once again, the need for help in making sandwiches, which will be January 18th at 12 o'clock in Copp Hall. And also today, we have the pleasure of having Eleanor Loudon, the artist, here among us, those gorgeous paintings that we have been enjoying these past 2 months, just beautiful paintings, and she's here today among us. Thank you for joining us, and I am sure if you have questions about her artwork afterwards, she'll gladly share it with you. I invite you to stand as you are able. As we say our call to worship together, today we remember the promise we have heard from the prophet Isaiah. The people walking in gloom are seeing a brilliant light. Upon those who dwell in a land of deep shadows, light is shining. For a child is born to us, an heir is given us, upon whose shoulders dominion will rest. This one shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Strength of God, Eternal Protector, Champion of Peace. We gather as a community. We gather with our hopes and dreams. We gather to seek a fresh vision of what it means to carry this light forward in this time and place. Let us now worship together. And we will start with song, singing Voices United 36, Angels from the Realm of Glory. Jesus, he greeted his disciples after his resurrection, saying, "Peace be with you." And we continue in his path to offer the same. The peace of Christ be with you. I invite you now to share greetings with one another. We light this candle as a symbol. It's the love light that shines in us and around us. It's the light we are called to share with our world. And I find that it's in silence that we can perhaps hear the whispers of the Spirit offering us some guidance. Yet it can be really busy during, it can be difficult during this busy time. We've just come through Christmas with all the to-do lists, the gatherings, everything going on. It can be hard to quiet our minds, can't it? And we have the celebrations, but for some of us, we also have heavy hearts. We're filled with grief, and it makes it difficult to find that still, quiet spot. So we'll take a moment just in silence to settle our minds, just settling into our chairs. And I invite you to take a deep breath in, breathing in the word trust, and breathing out, saying light. And we pray. Gracious and eternal God, angels appeared to Joseph in dreams and guided him so that he could protect the Christ child. Come to us now in our time of worship. Speak to us, guide us, fill us with your loving Spirit. We've heard that love came down at Christmas time to be among us. Yet we have to admit that sometimes we forget to follow in the ways that he taught us. We can become attached to our lives as they are and confess now that we need to be made anew. Forgive us for the times that we haven't been our best selves, times we've hurt others, times when we've even hurt ourselves. As the new year is dawning, raise us in your love. Grant that we may continue to be made new in your grace. And we say together the words that Jesus taught. Our loving parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This day is new, and the new year does await. God's grace unfolds before us so that we may also be made new. And this is where Kristen normally, she opens the theme. And as you were on your way in, there were pencils and a piece of paper. And I know this is something that Kristen often does. A couple of weeks ago, we wrote things on here and put ornaments on the trees. So let's spend some time just opening our theme for today. The ancient stories that we hear and sing about each Advent and Christmas, they bring hopes and dreams, our dreams of all the years, to life in us again. And in a few days' time, we're going to celebrate New Year's. And for many, this is a time for reflection and changing direction if we've gone off course a little. And we must allow ourselves to grow from these little detours and embrace new experiences and keep moving forward. And I wonder, can we let the lessons, those hard lessons, or is that just me, those hard lessons that we have learned this year, can we let them help us move forward into our new year? So in a few minutes of silence, this pen or this pencil and this paper, if you choose to write something down, although if you want to just sit and reflect, I do have a couple of questions for you. What have you savored this past year? What has been so wonderful for you? Also, what would you like to just leave behind? And then finally, what are you dreaming about for the new year? And as I said, you may choose to write something down, maybe a word, a phrase, or you can just sit and think about this for a moment as we're on that threshold before the new year begins.
Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Herein lies wisdom. Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 15 and 19 to 23. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. May God bless to our understanding this reading from the Scriptures.
And please stand as we join together in song once again, Voices United. 44, it came upon the midnight clear. We are singing verses 1, 2, and 4. Please be seated. Before I offer the prayers of the community, I'd like to share a poem that was written by theologian Howard Thurman to set our intention. Then I will offer our prayer. The work of Christmas. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. Let us pray. Holy One, Holy Three, we give thanks for your being with us in the wintry shadows and bringing us into the bright light of a new day. Guide us as we step into a new year and help us to do the work of Christmas as your people. Give us the courage to do so with wonder and praise. Help us to understand that you will be with us, guiding us however lost we get, available to help us get back on track. This morning we also pray. We pray for the world in its messiness, in a world filled with loneliness, fear, greed, war and violence. Help us to be one people, one world, filled with hope, peace, joy, and love. And we bring before you now, in our silence, our prayers for people and situations that are close to our hearts, even our most private personal cries to you. As we prepare to enter a new year, help us to keep looking for ways, the ways that you move in us, in each of us, and in this community of faith. Let us delight in the new. Help us to stay on your path of love and grace. We lift up these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. And we respond by saying together, we offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God, as a blessing for the world. And during this time, you're invited to light a candle if you wish, as a gesture to honor a prayer that you're holding in your heart for someone, or an intention that you would like to set for the new year. And you're also invited to give an offering to the life and work of this flourishing church. The offering box is located at the back of the sanctuary. Thank you, Rod. That was beautiful. And we certainly, in this place, we share the gift of music, and music goes straight to our hearts, to our souls. Let us pray. Creator, awaken us to the sacred dreams stirring in us and the cherished hopes for what is yet to come. May these reflections, may they help us deepen our connection to you and all creation. Amen. As I've said already, Christmas Day is behind us, and some of us may be setting our sights on New Year, that time of renewal. But I'm wondering, can we still, as we've been doing in this service, can we keep savoring Christmas joy and all the messiness? Christmas is more than that chaotic scene near the Christmas tree with wrapping paper everywhere and video games and Lego on the floor and maybe at least one stocking with chocolate Santas falling out of it. Or was that only in my household years ago? That image is clear in my mind every year as I continue to celebrate Christmas. And you know what? I do kind of miss that mayhem of Christmas morning, either before sunrise, it seems like sunset, seems like the day's almost over, or as the sun is rising. Yet seriously, Christmas is a messy story, a journey. And we, in the church, we have a mix of two scriptures. We put together Matthew's writings and Luke's to form this story. A story about an unexpected pregnancy, days of travel. Imagine 9-month pregnant Mary with a sore back and swollen feet as she travels. Then that wondrous birth, which it's not a picnic giving birth. And she's surrounded by people, perhaps family that love her, and there's unexpected visitors there as she's giving birth to her first child. And others arrive shortly after. And if that isn't enough, that story is messy enough on its own. But today, our focus is after the wise men, the wise ones, have left and gone back to their land again, and the Holy Family must escape to Egypt. We have to use our imaginations to put aside that story, the story of the wise ones, that you probably will hear next week. And it's just one of those curious things in the church we follow in this denomination and many others. We follow a common lectionary where in a 3-year cycle, and this year, this is how it's arranged. Rather curious and a little messy, but for now, let's continue to savor the Christmas story, even as our Advent candles are still there. How lovely that reminder that we're still in this season. And we're continuing to sing the Christmas hymns. And maybe like me, you're still watching some of the Christmas movies. My favorite after all these years is still It's a Wonderful Life, but that poor George Bailey, who views his life as a failure until he's visited by that almost angel, Clarence, who takes him through an unsettling dream experience. And our gospel reading today, it starts with an unsettling dream sequence. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." This flight to Egypt is treacherous, and it's a familiar one to anyone in our world who has been a refugee. Herod orders the mass killing of all male children under the age of 2. And the most vulnerable, the weakest in society carry the brunt of his desire for control and power. How on earth, I ask you, how on earth can this be the good news of Christmas, really? And haven't we heard enough about authoritarian leaders who make the Grinch seem like a really nice guy? I'm telling you, and I wonder how in our scripture, how can Joseph make a path through a desert of fear and hatred? We hear that an angel comes to Joseph in a dream, and it's unexpected, and this angel announces something new and completely unknown. And Joseph, you may not have thought of him this way before, but he is a dreamer. He receives guidance in a dream to go ahead, have the courage to continue to marry Mary, who is disgraced. Then he has this dream about Herod. Then he has 2 more dreams telling him when it's safe to return. Matthew's gospel, Matthew is writing for a Jewish audience, so telling them that Jesus is the new Moses. So, of course, he's going to be down in Egypt. And these people were all already familiar with dreams and angels coming to people in dreams. Think about Abraham, Jacob, Daniel, and of course, Joseph, son of Jacob. You know Joseph with the Technicolor dream coat, as Andrew Lloyd Webber reminds us. Well, that Joseph, he faced danger. His brothers beat him up, threw him in a pit. He was then left to die, and he is sold into slavery in Egypt, and eventually he saves Egypt from famine when he interprets the Pharaoh's dreams. And after that part of the story in Genesis, we hear that he, when he is together with his brothers, that he tells them that while they intended him, they intended harm for him, God intended goodness to come out of that. So Matthew's audience would have understood this connection when hearing about this Joseph, the Joseph and Mary and Jesus Joseph. Ancient people, they saw these dreams as revealing divinity through angels. And Joseph's dreams are sacred messages, alerting him and assuring him that God will be right there with him throughout this terrible ordeal. In other words, Joseph gets glimmers of the sacred and is willing to change his life, to go new places, and to protect his family. We understand today that dreams still come to us unexpectedly and unannounced. I had some odd ones last night, and they lead us into the unknown, sometimes putting together weird things. We also, it gets our imagination is working overtime in our dreams, and it's in our subconscious mind. But we also, we get into our imagination when we daydream, when we find times of stillness or mindfulness. And these times invite us to go where we haven't been before, just like Joseph. And they invite us, they call us into our intuition, to use our intuition, that inner message, God's guidance. And God will be there for us too. And during Advent, we speak about the coming incarnation, Jesus' birth among us, God, Emmanuel, coming to be with us. And that is the heart of the Christmas story, God here with us. And today, like Joseph, we're being asked to pause and notice and respond with wisdom when we get those small glimmers of the holy in our lives. Perhaps it's pausing to look out a window and see a bird. I know that right now the chickadees like to land in a huge viburnum bush that is right off the deck off of our dining room, just to sit and look at that or stand in wonder. Or when it's really cold and we've got snow on the ground and you hear the crunch of that snow and just think, wow, isn't that an amazing little thing? These are ordinary moments, but you know what? They're extraordinary moments. These times of stillness, mindfulness, if you want to call them dreams. Those times when we're not just focused on our heads, our intellect. The times when we don't bypass our feelings and we settle into mystery. My Christmas mornings, they have evolved, yet we continue to celebrate with extended family later in the day. And there's over 24 people, there's siblings, there's in-laws of in-laws, partners, 3 generations together, and we have a feast that's spread so that we can all sit at tables, spread over 3 rooms, tables in each room. There's lots of chatter, there's lots of laughter, lots of music, and of course, lots of food. And on Thursday, as I looked around, as we all then gathered in one room, I saw the love being shared. Just in all this, it was rather loud. In all this mayhem, love being shared, I stopped for a moment and just looked around at this diverse group of people. And I envisioned the previous generation that was only there in spirit, where they would have sat among us. And I imagined them looking at us with smiles on their faces, seeing the love that we were still sharing and how we were continuing this chaotic celebration. And yeah, I was filled with love and wonder. And yes, like all large family gatherings, where there's always at least one person that perhaps doesn't do exactly what they should be doing, or they make some comment that others just go, look at them funny. But of course, they're still loved just as they are, because that's how Uncle Fred is. And we know that. And as we gathered, not knowing what lies ahead in the coming year, none of us know, we were sure that our love and those offers of grace would give us strength no matter what lies ahead for any of us. And those are moments of glimmers. And I wonder, can we still believe that God is with us no matter how crazy life can be? Can we say yes to the mystery, to those dreams in our lives, noting what we've savored this past year and our dreams for the coming year? Perhaps you wrote something down, or at least earlier, you put in the back of your mind that you'll think about this. Life changes sometimes just in a moment. Joy and sorrow, and God is right there with us through all of it. There, even when we don't sense that God is there, that we feel abandoned, that we don't feel that sense of joy. So yes, I'll say that God comes in sunsets and beautiful vistas and snowflakes, but is also there amid all of our troubles. In fact, I think God's presence is even stronger in those times if we just allow that presence to seep into us. And I wonder if we can take these glimmers, these times when our imagination is set on fire, if we can take those times of imagination and creativity. That is what has created so much beautiful music and artwork through the ages, and the stories and the movies. Can we take that imagination and make a difference in this world? Sacred imagination, letting it lead the way for us, doing the work of Christmas, as Howard Thurman suggests in that poem. May awe and wonder and sacred imagination help us walk through the reality of life in this coming year, 2026. Can you believe it? 2026. Realizing that serenity, calm, can come to us if we can hold both the joy and pain of living together. In our dreams and our sacred imagination, and God will always be there with us. Dream on, folks. May it be so. And now let us sing our final hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain. It is Voices United, 43. And we, as we go to tell it on the mountain, we see this light, this light will soon be extinguished. Yet Jesus told us that we also were light in this world. So go out with that light in your heart. Let it sparkle from you. Let it radiate from you, sharing that light with our world, knowing that God goes with you. May the love of God, the grace of Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.